You saw some planes yesterday, right?
Yeah, I saw some flukes.
Planes, trains, automobiles. How about the arbitrary scale is one of said planes, trains, automobiles?
Planes, trains, automobiles.
You never seen that film?
No.
Oh my god.
The fuck?
There's a film called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's a classic Thanksgiving movie.
First off, you expect me to watch a Thanksgiving movie? I hate holiday movies anyways. Except for Die Hard.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is episode 119. We're an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters because I know how to speak English. My name is Dan, and I will be hosting through this wonderful experience of this podcast with Sean here, who will be here to say his name. And this is a really interesting episode.
I'm not even going to speak this episode. I might as well just close my laptop.
This is a really interesting episode.
I can just walk out the room.
Because,
You have never had to do a solo episode, so no, you only did one solo episode because you fucked up. I had to do a solo episode myself because
hot
this is like
single,
a year ago.
Hot
I'm just
single,
gonna drop
listen,
it by.
Hot single, hot singles in your area is what this episode is about because we have a bunch of singles that we're gonna be reviewing on this episode.
It's like when Dan told me that incest porn is a thing, and I just like, I don't want to know.
I didn't have to tell him, ladies and gentlemen. So after that, we're going to be talking about two drops that are from Earl Sweatshirt and Toro E. Moss. So we got some good, clean hipster shit here.
We got super hipster shit.
There may not be even a single drum beat in this entire episode. Well,
there's hella drum beats, but okay.
Let's just talk about the month of November, because we're in it. You know November has come when it's gone away. And, next week, we have FKA Twigs, Rex Lycrage, Bishop Neru, all releasing albums. Should be interesting. 2 weeks, we have Lady Antebellum, DJ Shadow, and Lil Peep, allegedly.
RIP.
And later this month, Sean and I are going to take some vacation. Because we have a Coldplay episode, we have
I definitely want to do that. Beck, yep.
Yeah, we've also got some bonus episodes that have been recorded down the pipeline, and people are starting to do their year-end reviews, people are starting to do their decade-end reviews, and we're going to have that coming down soon for y'all, too. So make sure you're subscribed to this podcast. If you just, like, listen to all the episodes singularly, that's a really strange way to consume podcasts. But you should subscribe so you don't miss episodes. And follow Sean on Twitter, because he is very funny on Twitter, and mostly on Instagram, maybe a little bit more on Instagram, not really that much. Either way, both of those platforms, you can find them at SW Suarez. And let's start the episode. Let's go
to
the
should randomly plug me, you don't plug yourself. That's funny to me.
No, I'm just saying, because, you know, I like to disprove the stereotype. Tommy and Paula released this new single, but we don't care.
Yeah, as I told you, we don't care.
Audio
Face rule, going back to, like, the first 3 weeks of Audio Face, so.
Yeah, we learned well. We might call it the Phoenix rule, some might say.
Yep.
But now we have Now I'm In It / Summer Girl, which is like a double release by Haim, H-A-I-M. I'm pretty sure that's the only way you can possibly pronounce that. So
Haim?
Yeah, I really fucking loved it. Now I'm In It had this like really good...
it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, underlying alternative feel, while Summer Girl just felt like really sort of like light and fun.
Mm-hmm. No, they were definitely good singles. I remember listening to their album before and not thinking too much about it, something to tell you a few years back. I don't remember anything about their first album, Days Are Gone. I have to go back and listen to it. But these two singles are fantastic.
Me neither. There's just a bunch of hype on it. On the internet, where people were kind of talking about this album, and we don't just review based off of hype. But I also knew like Haim was had a little bit going on. So
yeah, we need to see what was up, and you know, so far worth the hype. Maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say so. Definitely Summer Girl is a good song, even though we are in the midst of autumn.
Lightning in your eyes, you can't speak. You're falling from the sky down to me. I see it in your face, I'm relieved. I'm your summer girl, I'm your summer girl. I'm your summer girl.
Criminals by Rez and Mala. I was actually very happy about this because I like Rez and I like Mala. They made a pretty banger of a song together. Criminals.
Right.
It's pretty standard fare for both of them.
Yeah,
it wasn't anywhere.
It was revolutionary. It was standard kind of.
Yeah,
just need to be in the mood to listen to it, but it's not bad. Not, it's 3.6 Ronkin. Not great, not terrible.
What's Ronkin?
Ronkin, which is how you measure nuclear fallout.
Right, Ronkin.
Or irradiation, I should say.
It's good that we explain that for the audience. They know about
they need to watch Chernobyl.
Irradiation. Especially because you talked about that artist, Hildur who made the soundtrack for...
Yes, for Chernobyl and Joker.
Yes. We also can talk about Don't Start Now by Dua Lipa, which was a nice little sort of poppy but not too poppy track.
Yeah, it started off super poppy and then, but I mean, you have the stereotypical like getting up to a beat and then coming up to a crescendo right where the drop is, but the drop had a hell of a bass line.
Yeah.
So I could give it a pass. Show up, don't come out, don't start caring about me now, walk away, you know how. If it didn't have that bass line, I would have hated it, but it was okay for a pop song. I still think everything's way too generic.
It's all about that bass line.
Slip at the bass.
Yeah. And then, I would definitely say recommend listening to this. All the stuff we put here, we recommend listening to. This wasn't really bad set of singles. And then there's the Vince Staples Show episode 2, which
we don't care about.
We don't care about, because here's the thing. No one's talked about any sort of album release, but it was only 2017 when Big Fish Theory was released, so we haven't actually seen like a big Vince Staples drop or release yet.
I mean, no, we had the drop of FM.
We had FM, and that was like a drop, but it wasn't like a proper like release.
Yeah, we haven't had an LP in a minute.
So. Yeah, so I think the Vince Staples show, might be a whole like bigger project thing. So we're gonna hold on this for a little bit.
Exactly.
So there are a couple
just
episodes, and you know, you can listen to it. It's there. It's fine. But we're not gonna talk about that because that's Audioface. you don't look forward to this day. You hate to see this day, folks.
This is rough.
John Witherspoon, the actor in Friday. Referenced in many songs and films, and also in the Boondocks, which, if it has no music reference, at least has a reference here, because we talk about the Boondocks all the time.
We take it way too much.
He has
and I mean,
away.
There's a lot of music that was in that damn show, so...
Yeah. He passed away at the age of 77. The cause is not exact certain, but, goddamn. That's really gonna make...
That's a gem that no one can replace.
Yeah. He even just did a... part like a cameo in BoJack Horseman in this recent season,
because
he's just everywhere. He's just like really good at playing like his parts of like the dad who knew what shit was going on, kind of knew what was there to talk about, kind of imparted his wisdom. But yeah, he died in Sherman Oaks at the age of 77.
Yeah, which makes me really sad.
Rip in peace, Pop.
Super, super rip.
Anyways,
so
there's some things that die and there's some things that are reborn.
Yeah, Rage Against the Machine are reuniting for a tour next year, which is super out of the blue, randomly happened. Just I love how they announced it. They just made a Instagram account that was verified and just a picture of protesting Chile. That's how wild they are. Just that, and then just tour dates. That's it. Nothing else, just that.
Chile's, and no, the comment was, Chile's not messing around, USA next, ? Because Tom Morello posted the same version. And so, there's actually an interesting thing, because Rage Against the Machine is back, but Prophets of Rage is actually taking a little bit of a break. Or it seems like they're disbanding a little bit, because Tom Morello can't do both at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is fine, I guess you get one, you can't get the other, because they're both like very similar projects, but, you know, they're back.
Yeah, Rage Against the Machine make a million times better music than those, but... Be interesting to see how it is, and if they make anything new.
But will they make another Hail to the Thief?
I mean, Hail to the Chief. No one on Green Guard Earth can ever make another Hail to the Thief. That is on a pedestal. You can't. You just sacrifice its name. You cannot do that.
But Hail to the Chief.
Hail to the Chief.
That music video was ridiculous.
That thing was amazing.
Hail Pence. My Chemical Romance are back. They're back. They're here. They're back. Well, welcome back.
You okay then?
Yeah, no, not really. They broke up in 2013. They are everyone's favorite emo pale dudes, and they are back for more music.
Straight emo alley.
They also did the same thing. They announced via Instagram and have concert tickets to sell.
Yay.
Griff Nation.
Sure, I know a lot of people making a big deal of it. I never got into their music. I mean, some of it actually was
me neither.
Pretty good, but...
But if we're going to talk about My Chemical Romance... I mean, we're going to talk about Rage Against the Machine.
They're back, so if you like them, they're back.
We do big ones, we do little ones.
Prince is woke.
Prince, a couple of parting shots from the grave.
I mean, this is how I want to go out, man.
So,
by the way... I have to segue to hockey. The goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs did a costume as Ed Sheeran, spot on. Like, literally looks exactly like him. And
do we have a name of his so we can, like, show him?
Freddie Anderson.
Right here?
Freddie Anderson. Goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay.
Costume was as Ed Sheeran, spot on. Best costume ever. Yeah. You need to look it up. It is hilarious.
That sounds funny.
It is.
But...
Sorry, I just saw a picture of him. But Prince
has some parting
shots. Care about him.
He has a couple of others, Katy Perry, among others. He has a memoir called The Beautiful Ones. It just came out this week. And he talked about how he wanted to kind of fight against pop music and what was being put down
Thank
our
you.
Throats. Apparently, Prince said that... we need to tell them that they keep trying to ram Katy Perry and Ed Sheeran down our throats, and we don't like it no matter how many times they play it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he had pretty strong words about pop, and, you know, Prince was a pop star, like, the pop star. Like, one of the pop stars, if you think about it. Some would say.
I mean, he played more rock. his music was way different than pop.
Yeah, but, like, he transcended, like, rock. Like, he was one of the top, like, rock stars, even.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Which is different than you just generic pop. He's one of the greatest musicians who've ever lived.
Yes.
Definitely. I mean, because Ed Sheeran is a very close, not a little bitch, and Katy Perry makes shit music and dates...
Prince can definitely talk about the quality.
Prince can talk about whoever he wants from the grave. And he is 100% correct on this.
Yes. And also, we don't do industry shit for you, like, old head audio face listeners that much anymore. But there's this really funny story that I found about how labels are using playlists on Spotify and Apple Music, which is kind of the age-old story of playlists are the way that they make a lot of money and, like, do really shady shit at the same time.
Rock
so they do
Nation.
That.
Pop Rising. I hate that shit.
Yeah, so basically, but here's the worst part, is that these labels will create special playlists for moods, kind of like Spotify and Apple Music and Pandora are doing, but sometimes they'll add songs that are not part of their label's repertoire. So it's like, oh, you're adding a Cardi B song, but you're not part of Cardi B's record label, even though 80% of these songs are part of a different record label. It's kind of ridiculous. Actually, there's one thing that I found here. That was like...
Okay.
Some of these song pairings are ridiculous. Like, there's one titled 2019 Mix that has no songs that were released in the year 2019. But it does feature songs from Bob Marley, Massive Attack, Lord Hanson, and Imagine Dragons. So it's some real, like, kind of fuck shit that's going on.
That doesn't make sense, but okay.
Yeah.
Basically, they're just trying to make money.
Really desperate attempts to make money. Record labels suck.
Well, yeah, we've gone over this many times on the podcast.
Can go over
they
it
just
more.
They suck. They suck.
Yeah.
They fucking suck. Like, I can say that over and over again. They suck.
Can't say it enough.
All right. Sweatshirt of the Earl with the weirdest fucking album covers ever.
Yes.
This one still gives you nightmares. Ah, some rap songs.
He has released an album. It is called... Sorry, I'm yawning. Feet of Clay, 7 songs long, 15 minutes long.
And you want to yell at me about mumbling and shit. You just yawned on the podcast. You just yawned straight into your mic.
But that's... I know how to edit around that. At least when you breathe after you.
This guy. I can edit. Oh, damn, I'm so fucking cool. I can edit. Oh, fuck off then. Jesus Christ. I'll just rip it. I'll just put my phone in here, record it, release, and be like, fuck it. There
a 15-minute-long album is like... Tier or whack territory.
Yeah, and there's no song that's over 2 minutes long. Oh, no, never mind.
231.
No.
231. El Toro Combo Mule. And 4N, which is at the end. Which
four,
is like
4N, which is 4N.
Which is like the only real proper
say,
song on
Which
the
is
end.
Literally the only song on it, because the rest are just little
The
snippets.
Rest is like some rap songs part two.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But I like this more than some rap songs, because this sounded a lot like Bishop Nuru. actually is how I when I was listening to this.
Too much evanescence, wake you up inside with the west, and too much dereliction. Those dives for the rep and shoot a Mac 11, take a boat ride on a jet and do a chapter 7, chapter 11, session for session, put in your ass like lederhosen, supposedly, allegedly, I was chosen to keep your speakers broken, allegedly bespoken, smoking, we keep the beacon glowing, Serrano, ham leg hanging in the window, arrested development, Mr. Window.
Sure. I love that kind of new age rap to where it's, you mix new sounds with old sounds and it makes really good beats, and it's nothing too hyphy typhy or nothing too trap. There's no snares pretty much. It's just kind of lo-fi beats. But
I mean, like, there's no
reimagined,
like, drums in most of it until,
yeah,
like,
until
El Toro Combo,
yeah,
doesn't even really get, like, kind of popping. But
that's what I'm saying. It's pretty chill. It's relaxed for the most part, but it's good. I like it.
Yeah. Definitely has a 15, like, song ride, like, you can, there's no excuse to not listen to this album, kind of try it.
No,
but
it's 15 minutes, and it goes by fast too.
It's a very kind of, like, it's a ride in the sense that's very obscure, especially in the beginning.
It's eclectic.
But the beginning's a total of 5 minutes, and the rest of that is like a 7 minute sort of, like, journey that you go through your ears. Yanni does not really do that big of a deal with the podcast. It's more like coughing and breathing directly into the microphone, like expelling air directly into it.
Disrespecting the podcast.
Disrespecting the podcast. It's really hard
for the sanctity of the podcast.
It's really hard to talk about a 15-minute album in depth.
You can't,
just, like,
because there's literally
there.
There's one song that is a song, pretty much. Everything,
yeah,
else, like you say, pretty much any other song just feels like an unfinished project, kind of similar to Tori Mom, but we'll get there in a minute. But everything is good. There's good ideas, as we like to say, and it definitely feels like some rap songs part two, like Amnesiac.
Yeah, which
because
is why I say,
every,
like,
song is like on some rap songs where nothing goes above 3 minutes, so.
But it's interesting. You said some rap song. You said this was better than some rap songs.
I like,
right,
them more.
But we rated some rap song as, like, in its own category of drop of the year, like, the drop of the year.
It's definitely good, yeah, but this one,
I wouldn't rate this as even drop of the year. It's just sort of, like, kind of plain.
I just like it more.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I
can be, I can be objective when something's good.
I
that's
like,
how you, that's what you're supposed to do as a music review.
I like Earl's sweatshirt more, but I don't necessarily like this album generally. Like, I wouldn't rate this on one of my, like, this is the best of projects or releases of the
it's
year.
It's definitely not one of the best of. I'm just saying,
yeah,
I enjoy it.
But when Earl Sweatshirt is out of the best, he's definitely, like, one of my favorites. For sure.
It's alright.
Yeah. Arbitrary scale. We're going back to the month scale, but instead of doing NFL players, we're going to politicians. We're going to Beto O'Stork.
Bet on my stork.
Robert Francis. Robert Francis No Mames O'Rourke. So, Robert Francis Yo Soy Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, there we go. Better.
And so, I'm going to say this is a September.
I'm going to say whatever month he said that he's like, he just went all in on the crazy train and said, fuck everybody, I'm going to take everyone's guns. Whatever month that was, that might have been August.
August.
Or, I think that's late August. Where
that's
you're just like,
August.
Nah, no one has guns. Fuck it. I need to get up in the polls. No more guns. That's what this is.
Okay. And literally his polls flatlined.
Yep. Okay, Whitey.
Okay, Whitey.
So YG kicked off a fan, kicked the fan off stage because apparently he didn't want to yell fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Or a duck funnel Trump, as we like to say.
Duck funnel Trump.
Buck Obama.
Yeah. It was at San Antonio's Mala Luna Festival, and this fucking Delta Chi initiate over here is standing in front of Pusha T in a way I'm just gonna hold straight up to the camera here. And the guy is just, like, awkwardly standing up straight at attention, just like, hey, why can't you say fuck Donald Trump? But he won't because he's too loyal to his race and his ethno-state racist-ass country. And his bullshit fucking yuck mouth smelly ass family. Anyways, so he should have known what was coming and what was gonna happen, considering YG made the song called, and I quote,
fuck
Donald Trump.
Yes.
I think it kind of goes to show that some people are there for the music, and but, like, not really there for, like, what it's about. And they're kind of just there to be part of a crowd. And those are the kind of people that Sean and I rail about on Audio Face all the time.
And I'll talk about that when we go to the Tom York segment. But anyways.
Interesting. Oh, I also didn't even tease this at all during
the
podcast.
We didn't even tease
you
this.
Went to see Thom Yorke.
Yeah. It was super last minute surprise, and
it was interesting. We'll talk about it in maybe like 15 minutes or so. It'll be really chill. We have a quick content because there was a bunch of stuff that was happening.
I forgot about this.
And it caused Sean to laugh a lot, so this should be good. Kanye says...
Sounds like a choice to me.
Kanye says the Democrats are forcing black Americans to have abortions, and this is actually like a very weird topic that's used a lot in the like black politic community of like, oh yeah, why they put all the black Planned Parenthoods in the black communities and shit. Like, no, it's like communities change racial like structures based on generations and based on things that are way outside of like individual political programs, not trying to kill like black children. If anything, like it's more just people need to be able to take away the issue of poverty from the issue of race. And it's hard to like do the two because like poverty and race have been correlated into laws in the United States specifically.
Yeah, naturally.
But like it's not like there's some secret plot for Democrats or even the government itself to try to kill black people. Reagan's already dead. That's
I would say it's called Reaganomics.
Yeah. Reaganomics has already been and gone. But this is like kind of ridiculous. But this exists. Like there's a whole like set of grifters on like the right wing who say, oh, black people need to stop voting for Democrats because they're trying to kill all the black children. Like, no, they're not killing all the black children. Republicans with their crack epidemic are killing all the black children. But Kanye West
that's the same, that's the same thing as people who want to Pizzagate, so.
Pizzagate sounds delicious right now, honestly. Anyways.
Okay. Let's get off of that right now. Jeez, Lord Jesus.
The Church of Satan is pleased
Darian?
Kanye West has released Jesus is King. Satan is the best friend Kanye has ever had, according to an official statement released by the Church of Satan, saying that the record is about West's relationship as a god, a relationship with God, that was a Freudian slip, that's meant to be an atonement for his past sins and faithful servitude. But, yeah, it's pretty fair that Satan's definitely been more of like what Kanye West has paid attention to over the years, I would say, for sure.
Come meet me in the bathroom style, yeah.
Yeah.
He said these things?
These are words that he said. Also, we all remember that what brought us to this glorious day where we're talking about Kanye West's come to Jesus moment is because he had a mental breakdown on tour.
Or it's because it's all about money.
Yes, but this started with a mental breakdown on tour. And Kanye West, like, basically, he canceled his tour, went into UCLA Medical Rehabilitation Center. And so he had some, let's say he had some ideas while he was there. But no...
It's like, how can I make money? Oh, wait, I can say I came to Jesus and then make people pay because people always pay for Jesus.
Sounds good. Has worked many times before.
I'm telling you, it's just a money pool.
There have been, like...
Look at all these crazy people.
So he's... No one wants to insure this concert because he's crazy. He's a maniac. And the last time he did this before, he literally shirked his concert rules. So apparently there's like a mental health exemption to anyone who's insuring his shows where if he has to leave for any mental health reasons or if he's off his meds, they won't cover that. So if he has to be hospitalized due to mental health issues, he's not going to be covered by any of his like tour
companies. Liability.
Yes,
for the company.
Which
that's
sounds
funny.
Bad
that's
until
hilarious.
You realize they're dealing with Kanye.
It's hilarious to me. That's so funny. We can assure you, unless you have a mental problem. We can assure you, unless you don't have your multiple personality drugs. If you don't have your drugs, then well... Hi.
It's like that guy in Left 4 Dead. He's like, pills here. Gotta grab everything I can. Grabbing pills.
So No Name is as the youngins like to say is woke. She wrote a book. She didn't write a book. She had a book club on The Daily Show, and it's she says a little bit of fuck you to Amazon, which
yeah. She
I'll always go with. And the FBI.
She was on The Daily Show with neoliberal Noah, and she was talking about her
that's
book
right,
club.
That's his show. That guy is such a neoliberal cuck, but that's beyond the point.
Hashtag no politics.
Yes. So she simply titled No Name's Book Club. Like, I guess they have monthly events to get together.
And they highlight independent person of color authors and people of color owned bookstores. And that's the kind of fuck you to Bezos part, because Bezos has taken over in addition to bookstores.
I mean, it's like FDS is literally a fuck you to that as well. Or just stuff when people are making.
What is FDS things, for the people who don't know?
Free Discussion Society. Go to freediscussionsociety.com to find out more.
This may or may not be related to
Bam from the We Made It podcast. I was going to get to it. Give me time.
Okay.
I'm not a Zed, so I got to, like, wait. I actually use my words, and I don't speak at a million miles a minute and do things at a million miles a minute.
I feel so personally attacked right now.
Yeah, I'm just like, I relax. I'm cool. That's it. You should know that by now. Anyways, this is pretty cool. I fucks with her heavy for this, because the more gatherings of actual human interactions, the better.
Yes, and the less that has
the less power with that bald-headed fuck, the better. Because he's also closing 365s for being greedy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
What the fuck happened to my thing?
That's interesting. Okay, so
yeah,
because he's Yangapalooza. So Yang is having Yang had a presidential rally on this past Friday, dubbed Yangapalooza. It took place
Yang
in Des Moines, Iowa, and among the people to play were Weezer.
Weezer, oof, that's rough. Now, okay, which Weezer's playing now? New Weezer, old Weezer. If it's new Weezer, that's really rough. If it's old Weezer, I can give you a pass.
I think only new Weezer would play at an Andrew Yang event.
That's pretty bad. That's really rough.
They're still coming out with new music, right?
I have no idea, and I hope not.
Let's just not care. That sounds like the right thing to do.
Find me.
Soul Trash is an album by Tora et Moi.
Yeah, my favorite. He's my favorite hipster. Of all the hipsters in the hipster world, Tora et Moi is my favorite, like, hands down. This guy, we had this conversation while we were playing tennis. How's life?
Outside the tennis.
He's
pretty good at making music. I can't say he can't make bad music because he's improved significantly.
But it's just all of his music, I can listen to it.
Soul Trash is a very, like, 12 songs long, 34 minutes, right?
24. It's basically just little bits of snippets.
Unfinished demos.
Kind of like Jay Paul's work that got leaked. But this one is definitely not a leak. He's like, okay, this is just shit I've done. And he has all of the file names and stuff of what they're under. So you can see most of the dates of when these are out. And they definitely sound like the era that they were being made for that album. So you had...
Some just sound like not necessarily Tora that much.
Yeah.
Some of these, I'll go into it super fast. But some of them, like around Schwann New Rose and outdated Hi-Fi V3... sound kind of trappy.
They're definitely trappy, which was strange. From Tori Amal, but like his voice still sounds good over it, but you could tell that someone else was helping with the production of it too.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the freak old grape god, who the fuck is that? But okay.
Old grape god.
No idea who that is, but okay. Two songs featured in it, but the last song, Drip Bounce, you could definitely tell that was meant for Boo Boo, but never really made it on.
Because
you could tell that has that sound of Mirage.
Date was a little bit after.
It's a little bit after, but it might have been something that he was working on in that era, but just never caught on.
Fair.
So, and then a couple of other tracks you can hear that they're like the outer piece as well. So it's interesting to see kind of the evolution of some of his sounds in just one little demo album. And it's fantastic. Some of the sounds in here are awesome. So he's got a lot of ideas, and they are great. So please check it out. Tori Amal makes fantastic music, and a little surprise thing for him, and
This came out in the middle of the week, which happens sometimes, and oh my god, this was just such a delightful little
pick-me-up for the music world, because we've had a little lull.
Not really a lull. September was quite a bit of albums. Yeah. And October was quite a bit too.
But just like it was just a lot to process.
Yeah. And it was nice to it was nice to kind of take it slightly easy this week, kind of really dig into the news that's going on. And,
yeah, exactly. Have a little fun.
Yeah. There's also a Soul Trash short film, which I should mention.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's not like that much to talk about. There's no real plot to it. It's just like a bunch of visuals put together from like shows and tours hipsters. And shit. Super hipster shit.
I love it. Is he wearing those stupid Jesus sandals with socks?
Almost usually. Arbitrary scale, and considering this is Beto's months that we're using as the arbitrary scale, which months of Beto's life were the best? I'd say May, because this was right after the Vanity Fair cover, but right before Shit Hit the Fan.
This is the Vanity Fair cover.
Fair cover was April.
Yeah, this is April. This is the Vanity Fair cover. Whenever all the neoliberals just say, don't underestimate Beto or don't sleep on Beto, you know those guys who do that stupid clapping emoji, don't sleep on Beto. And now Kyle Kulinski is just whipping them into asshole right now. He was going on a tear of just retweeting these dudes and posting. He's like, well, hey, tell me how my ass tastes.
Nate Silver put his phone on silent this weekend. Let's just flip the little iPhone switch. It's like, I'm just going to do on no alerts.
Yeah, right.
Okay, let's do some quick hits.
Why do you...
I just copy-pasted that. Okay. That's fine. Morrissey is on one.
He is. He needs to get... He needs to get locked up in a psych ward as Morrissey.
His latest thing is that he is signing albums and selling them for money at shows. Not his albums, other artists' albums. Yeah. Including Patti Smith, Lou Reed, Iggy Pop, and David Bowie. So imagine going to a Morrissey concert with a David Bowie 12-inch and getting it signed by Morrissey. Imagine the balls.
That's just super fucking random. Now, why would you get something that's not artist-related signed by an artist to me?
Oh, so that's artist-related signed by a different artist. It's strange.
Yeah.
He has shirts that say, fuck the Guardian. Those are fine.
I can get on board.
The Guardians is one of the few, like, staunch left-wing papers that exists in England. I think we'll give it what it's due, especially compared to the Queen's Broadcasting Corporation. R. Kelly's latest... You always gotta end the news portion of your face.
He is super up there in the little bitch award.
R. Kelly decided to ditch his court date, claiming he had a toe infection. And he didn't want someone in the courtroom to step on his toe, because if someone stepped on his toe, he would find out that he would be involved with sexual misconduct with little kids. Because it's always how it gets you. It's the gout, and then it's straight to sexual misconduct.
This is an inside joke I have with a friend, and we go, oh, my toenail! This is motherfucking R. Kelly literally going up to judge. I can't go. My toenail hurts.
Remember that
God,
time?
You're such a little bitch.
Also, let's remember, this is the photo that was used in the article reminded me of the time that Art Kelly was accused by the feds of spreading herpes.
I can see that 100% working. You know, I hope someone grabs pliers and forcibly removes his toenail.
I thought you were going to say a different T-word, but let's go into, speaking of T-words, the Thom Yorke tour. He is currently touring Anima.
Yeah, in America of North.
Yes, you got to see it. When he played an undisclosed location. And
along with Paul Thomas Anderson, so he was there.
At undisclosed location.
At undisclosed location. Doesn't matter if no one knows I'm there.
Yeah.
It already happened, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went with, ironically, with Bam from the We Made It podcast.
At undisclosed podcast.
What's this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
He randomly had tickets somehow. I'm not going to explain why, but he
you're able to go. How was the show? Let's talk about the show, because we also have a history on Audio Face for those of the new listeners who have trickled in over the time, where we talk about our experiences at live concerts.
Yes. And this one is fantastic. First off, I'm really glad I went with somebody else who is as big as a Thom Yorke fan as I am.
Yeah.
Because he could be a Radiohead fan, but not be a Thom Yorke fan easily. Because Thom Yorke has solo works that are, I wouldn't say super different from Radiohead, but definitely a bit of a
eclectic pivot.
A bit of a pivot from Radiohead's work, for sure. And I fucking love it. I mean, you heard my review on Anima. I just can't wait to go to Songs of the Year and Albums of the Year to see. And so I can talk about that album more, because as the more I listen to it, the better it gets. It's like fine wine. and this concert is ridiculously good. Thom is on his top of his game. Every song he played, he made it completely different than the album versions. It ended up being like an underground English rave set in 1995, which was awesome. Everybody was moving around. Everybody was bopping. It was fun. Even people who were there, and you could tell that there was a lot of people there that didn't know his music, because there were some songs he played which were like on Tomorrow's Water Boxes, which didn't get too much of a playthrough because it's really eclectic and strange. But there were a couple people there that definitely knew the lyrics and stuff. But right. There were some who were just sitting there like, oh, you could tell the uncomfortable white people like, oh, this is interesting. These are sounds. He debuted live a new song that he made for Ed Norton's film, which I think we covered before. I just liked it. We went on the mic. He said, if I fuck it up, Ed, sorry, this is my first time playing it, but fuck it. And just went to playing, which was pretty cool. The biggest thing, though, was the visuals. They have a... him and Nigel Godrich have a visual design guy, Tarek, I don't remember his last name, that's on the stage with them. So there's three people on the stage, Tom, Nigel, and Tarek. And he was doing all of the visuals for the songs, and it was amazing for it. They all had like this different thing that would go along with the song, set the mood. And like for Brain in the Bottle, they had little circles that would go and like meet each other and went whoop, 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 meet sort around like- with it. It was crazy. I've never seen a display like that before.
So I recently went to the Neon Museum at undisclosed location, and there also like was this like neon like exhibit, or maybe they're playing with Xeon or plasma of some kind, where it did that same core of like coming together thing you're talking about with circles meeting in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really cool.
But that was just on one song. Other ones were just completely different. The visuals were striking, and that's I've heard reviews of it and stuff, and people saying about the visuals, I'm like, okay, I'll go check it out. I'm like, holy shit, this is, I don't know anyone else is doing.
He doesn't do drugs.
And I don't do drugs at all. And I was sitting there like, I'm glad I'm actually up, because I can completely see the visuals. And I wasn't even looking at Tom half the time. I was looking at the visuals and then just losing my mind.
That's a good show.
Fantastic show. 11,000 out of 10 would recommend go and watch if you have the opportunity to and can afford it, because shit's expensive.
Yeah. It's not like you didn't want to go to the Tom York show originally, just the bots got
it. Oh, literally, we tried, but the bots got it. When we did Radiohead, we just got extremely lucky and got in. So, there's that.
Yeah.
As Dan says, at an undisclosed location, because he's worried about location now.
Anyways, this has been Audio Face. This has been a great podcast, and we'll have it next week where you'll host, and
okay, low energy Jeb. This has been Audio Face. Thanks for listening. Please, Pat.
Low energy Jeb. Next week, we'll probably have FKA Twigs. We were supposed to have that a couple of weeks a while ago. Vex Life Raj, another Berkeley classic, Toro y Ma, kind of zone place, but we also have, who is it? Like, who's the guy from Berkeley who's really mediocre? God damn it.
I wouldn't know. I didn't live there.
No, I have to say.
Rappers, I definitely don't know.
He is like the something god.
The something god? But how would you be called the Silicon Valley god or the computer god?
No, I forget it. Fuck, it's so dumb. Whatever. I'll remember it, and then you'll be reminded of how stupid this person is.
Okay.
But anyways, this has been Audio Face. You will be able to follow this podcast by going to @AudioFacePod on Twitter and Instagram, or by going to YouTube at youtube.audioface.show. The regular website is audioface.show, because that's how websites work. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web, on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at
Not Yawning
SW Suarez, where I'm sure there's a picture of me, of him yawning, that I'll use in some post somewhere. You're just bitter because of how you flubbed the intro last time.
Yeah, I gotta give you shit for doing things wrong, because you always yell at me for sound and shit.
I don't yell, I critique quietly in a way that's not visible on the podcast until you mention it on the podcast. Thank you for listening, we'll talk to you next week.
I'm being held against my will.
He's into it, cheers.
My last will and sacrament.